Okay, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I guess I'm the last one. And I guess the day has been on the topic of sacrifice and the sacrificial man. And I'm going to summarize Bob's first one. I wrote down, he said a lot of stuff in there, don't get me wrong. But I put down, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. He prodded us to pray, to study, to be absorbed in the things of God. And then Scott launched off into what I titled Love Your Neighbor as Yourself. He pulled together the things that we should be doing toward our neighbors, toward our family. And even in Scott and Bob's second one, it kind of was in that same category, encouraging us to do the things we need to be doing is with the responsibilities that we're given by God for our family. If you're a pastor or a shepherd, he likened that also to being the head of a family, shepherding your family. I'm going to talk about a subject called sheepdog. It's a thing that we heard somewhere. Where was that? Internet video? Oh, that's right. You sent it to me. And I didn't even go back to look at that when I did this. But I did get on the internet, and I pulled up several other things on church sheepdogs. And there's been several speakers on it. And I kind of combined a lot of that and made my own thing out of it here. Because what we've got, and Scott hit on this very hard, on the Good Shepherd, and then the fact that there are shepherds, the early church, the disciples, the apostles, were called shepherds. And God, Christ, when he was here, told him to feed his sheep. What are the three things he said? First he said, tend my lambs. Then he said, shepherd my sheep. And then he said, tend my sheep. Those were out of John 21:15-17. He told Peter that. So we're likened unto sheep. And in the Old Testament, it says that we're all like sheep, have gone astray. So we got the Good Shepherd, and even though we're sheep, we're shepherds. Okay, it's a funny situation we're in. But what I want to throw out there, and it doesn't mention it, I don't think, anywhere in Scripture, but the concept of sheepdogs that helps the shepherd and helps herd the sheep. In nature, real sheep are born as sheep. Sheepdogs are born that way and sore wolves. They didn't have a choice, but you're not a critter. As a human being, you can be whatever you want to be. It's a conscious, moral decision. If you want to be a sheep, then you can be a sheep, and that's okay, but you must understand the price you pay. When the wolf comes, you and your loved ones are going to die if there is not a sheepdog there to protect you. If you want to be a wolf, you can be one. But the sheepdogs are going to hunt you down and will never let you have rest, safety, trust, or love. But if you want to be a sheepdog and walk the warrior's path, then you must make a conscious and moral decision every day to dedicate, equip, prepare yourself to thrive in that toxic, corrosive moment when the wolf comes knocking at the door. The way you do that is part of what Bob said in his first message. You got to be prepared. You got to be prayed up. You've got to be studied up. And I'm going to move that into the sensitive part of you've got to not only absorb that, but learn and pray to God that you're sensitive toward those things that are out there in the world so that you can be discerning, I think Scripture calls it. You need to understand there's nothing morally superior about a sheepdog. It's just what you choose to be, or I think sometimes what you're called to be. He's always sniffing around on the perimeter, checking the breeze, barking at the things that go bump in the night, yearning for a righteous battle. I threw that one in there. I like the righteous battle because there's, call it fighting the good fight. There's a righteous battle that we should be out there looking to fight spiritually. And what we see in the world today is a lot going on physically. There are, as we all know, been some examples of sheepdogs in just your lifetime. Think back to 9/11. Todd Beamer and some of the others on Flight 93 over Pennsylvania. I'm just going to try to bring in what a sheepdog does and how they should react, and I'll allow you to think in your mind where you're at. Are you a sheepdog? If you're not, you must be down here and just be a sheep grazing out there with your head down. Okay? I think we should all, as men, should be called in some fashion to be a sheepdog. You're not all called to be shepherds, although we made the analogy of that in your family. But the sheepdog is a little higher calling. And most men, if you're going to be a family man, you're going to be a sheepdog over your family. If you don't think you are now, wait till you get one. All of a sudden you'll start thinking differently. Right, Justin? Mm-hmm. You start being more careful. You don't leave your baby out there in a stroller and walk away from it. Okay? There are predators out there. And you're going to be aware of that. You're going to make yourself conscious of that. But a sheep tends to have its head in the grass. And on the other end is the alert sheepdog. Example of sheepdogs was during 9/11 when Todd Beamer was, I guess, I don't know if he had it in his heart to be a sheepdog, but when he made a cell phone call and found out that the other three planes were intentionally crashed, even though those men in that plane told them, oh, no, no, we're not doing that. By the way, those predators are liars, and it's okay for them to lie in their religion. So you can't believe what they say. The action that was taken when he said, let's roll, is they knew they had to do something. You may someday be put in that situation. So you need to be prepared. And a lot of the things that's already been mentioned here should be preparing you for that. And when you go, and during your prayer time, and when you study Scripture, you should be looking for those things in your life that God's charging you with to be prepared for. And a lot of that has to do, because I'm going to bring it into not only the physical realm, like I'm doing with the sheepdogs in the physical world, where high schools like Columbine and things like that, there are predators out there. They are in the church. People have come into churches and shot pastors. Are just congregation people. I mean, they're not real selective. They don't care. A predator, a wolf, will attack sheep. They will attack lambs. One guy I was reading about, he said that he was on a like an Amtrak train, and these two thugs came in and they were shouldering everybody and walking around and giving the glary eye and what are you looking at? And he's a cop. I guess he was packing, I don't know, but he was a cop, and he wasn't afraid of these guys, and they worked their way down his way, and he was reading the book, and he just looked up at him. He said, what are you looking at? He said, aren't you afraid of us, or something like that? And he says, no, I ain't afraid of you. And he just kind of stood there and stared at him, and I guess he intimidated them enough. They turned around and walked away, because they wanted to go pick on the sheep. They realized he was a sheepdog, okay? So if we develop the mentality, and I guess that's something you need to pray about, is what would you do in a situation? Are you ready for something like that? And I don't mean just physically, but I'm going to take that physical aspect and move it into the spiritual, into the church. Because there are also wolves and predators, false teachers, false prophets in the church. Are you discerning enough to know how to handle that? I know there's two different things there, but I want to pull it in because we may be called upon either in any of those situations to do something. So I want to draw that word picture into the spiritual aspects of Christ's church. The lambs and sheep make up the majority of the body of believers. There are some sheepdogs, and there are even fewer shepherds. I think you can begin to see the parallels. Now, who are the sheepdogs? What does a sheepdog do in the church? They watch for the wolves, the false prophets, the predators, the false teachers. Watch for drifting lambs and sheep. Comfort sheep and lambs. They disciple them. They try to turn the lambs into sheep and the sheep into sheepdogs. Where are you? What do you feel God is preparing you for? Because when I look at myself, I feel like I've been a sheepdog for a long time. For some reason, I just don't get intimidated easily. I don't avoid confrontation. I'm not a troublemaker. But it doesn't bother me when trouble comes. And I knew this in high school before I was even a believer. Because I see my weaker friends get intimidated by these bullies, and I just step between them. I didn't get in many fights, but I avoided fights. I didn't want them, but I wasn't afraid when they came. So I don't get intimidated easily. If you do, you need to be praying about asking God. Is that a position you need to be in, especially with a family that you need to protect, with things being taught to your children in the schools? You know, should you go and confront somebody and disagree with them? I don't mean violence. You know, we're not trying to promote violence here. There are some radical right wing, I guess I'll call them right wing. I don't want to be over there with them, but they take the law into their own hands and take matters into their own hands, and that's wrong. But we do have to be ready to stand up with a righteous defense against the things in the church that encroach it, the challenges that come our way. We have to be ready for it. There's pictures of Jesus as a shepherd, and they're comforting and peaceful, but life is not like that. It's not always peaceful. For many people, life can be full of fear, anger, loneliness, with a feeling that no one cares. They are really alone in a cold, unloving world. It's worth remembering that Jesus did not spend his earthly life among the affluent, the healthy, the powerful. He spent it among the outcast, the sick, and the lonely. That's an area I think we have to be sensitive to. So you're not only ready to come to the defense as a sheepdog, you're also looking for those people, and I think Bob mentioned it when he said somebody's sitting by themselves. You look for people that are hurting, the strays, the ones that come in and slide in the back door, and they slide out before even service is over sometimes. So I'm challenging you as sheep or sheepdogs, either one. I think you need to be progressing as a sheep, because the way it's pictured as a sheep is a pretty sad animal. Okay, they wander off, they go astray, they're very weak, they're dumb. They really are. You don't see many people raising sheep. My wife, I met her, and she was a farm girl from way up northwest Missouri, and you didn't see many people working with sheep. They take up a lot of attention, a lot of work. Cows are so much easier. So if you're a sheep and you just keep your head down, you're grazing, you think trouble's never going to come, or you won't ever have to confront anything, and you stay in your nice little cozy chair that Bob was talking about, and he's worn down, I think you need to do a little self-analysis and ask God, do you expect more out of me? What can I be preparing for? Through studying the Word, through prayer. I think we should be every day looking at and asking God, what do you want from me today? Is there somebody I'm going to meet? I have to be prepared for that. I have to prepare myself to die, if I have to, as a sheepdog. I'm going to put myself in harm's way if need be. That's the extreme. That's up there, and I doubt if many of us, if any of us, will ever be called to do that. But we have to be prepared for it. So number one, you've got to be ready yourself and spiritually able to handle that kind of a decision. Now, on the lower end, we also have a responsibility to the sheep and the lambs that are in the church. Not just against the physical harm, but you have to think of those things too. So let me challenge you. When you're upstairs, when you're in the church, don't think that things won't happen. And I don't want you to be preoccupied with it, but keep that in the back of your mind. If somebody's walking through the doors you don't know, be friendly. Find out more about them. If you sense something, and I think God will give you that discernment, if you sense that there's something that's just not right with this person, or they're trying to avoid you, there's a problem.
I think maybe a good physical example we're talking about is a fellowship day here. We have kids everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, strange car pulls up on the lot. A, we need to be friendly and welcoming to people coming in. B, we need to have our eyes on our children, knowing that the realities of predators being what they are,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it may be one of the Dickman kids, but it may be him that's standing there by them, and they see, well, why is this adult talking to one of Tim's kids? I don't know who this person is. I'm going to go insert myself in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's Tim's brother. Okay, I didn't know his brother. That's cool. No, it's some stranger. Well, the stranger can talk to me. Yeah, you know.
That's right.
Talk to Mark and let the kid walk off.
We just need to be alert. We need to be not afraid to ask questions, not be afraid to approach somebody, not to have fear. We shouldn't be under fear. And the alertness, that's a question I when I ask, are we alert like a sheepdog, alert to both the voice of the good shepherd and the needs and fears of the sheep? Do they know they are safe in the hands of the church? Do they see the church as a safe place or a place where they can may be criticized, reprimanded, made to feel like a second-class citizen? I hope not. Does the church today strive to keep people together, or does it stand back and watch people scatter in fear, making themselves even more vulnerable to life's problems, the wolves, the predators? There are spiritual predators out there. There's a lot of, and I don't even know how many weird things, because I don't look at all those weird things, but there's goofy philosophies, churches that, where they get into laughing, and I don't even know all the different stuff, but there's things that I know we need to be ready for and to be alert to and to be prepared to defend what you believe and what you know Scripture says. The church should become like the sheepdog, model its outreach on love and concern, sometimes conveyed by just staying still, listening, watching, moving quietly without a great fuss to meet the needs of the sheep. That's what a sheepdog does. Sometimes he just moves around, watches to see if one gets pretty far from the rest of the flock. Something I was thinking of back there, though, is the sheepdog really, in some cases, I mean, he's attached to the shepherd, but he's fairly independent. He can go on his own, even though not long term. I mean, he's part of that's part of a team effort. I mean, if you're gonna have sheep, you got sheep dogs, you got a shepherd. It's all part of it. And all the sheepdog needs to know is that the shepherd is there, and they're working together. The sheepdog has a purpose. And as a plain old dog, and I like your coming back. I mean, you give me the dog part, so it made me feel a little better about Caleb and the dog and stuff. The sheepdog, all it really wants is the pat on the head from the master, you know? He can run out there, and he works independent because he knows what's expected of him. And he chases down the sheep because he knows that's what his job is. And sometimes he doesn't even know why, other than he's challenged to do it. That's his job. Now we know better. We know what our purpose is. We know if we have any discernment at all, when things come our way, what we should do about it. sometimes we can, if we go from sheep dog to sheep, when we put our heads down and just ignore it and think it's going to go away. We can't afford to do that as a church. We're called to know, value, honor, protect one another, to share with each other the joy of knowing Jesus. So I want to repeat that. We're called to know, value, honor, and protect one another. That's the second commandment, was to love your neighbor as yourself. I don't think we think quite as much of that one as we do the first one, because we spend more time in a relationship with God. And through that, if you don't have the balance, you're going to be off balance. You won't be ready for that relationship with your neighbor. And who's your neighbor? Who did Christ say it was? Pretty wide open, I think. You know, a stranger on the street. I stopped because I saw a gal. I work in Perryville, so I got a 60-mile drive, and somebody's on 55, some gal, young gal that was working on her back tire, and I thought, well, I better stop and help her. There's no guy there. I look at her as a sheep or a lamb out there, and a predator could be. So if I stop, even though she doesn't know me, whether I'm a predator or a sheepdog, I try to make sure she understands. You know, I just ask if she need any help. She didn't really need any help. Her tread had come off, and it's going to just go to the next exit anyway, and the tire was still up. So, but I tend to stop. I picked up hitchhikers before. I don't have an aversion to those things. Well, let's see. We watch, we listen, we move when needed, quietly and with confidence, always there to guide and protect. The sheepdog will guard the sheep with his life because he sees them as his responsibility. If you don't see yourself as responsible, if you're self-absorbed, and this is where we've touched on it already today, if you're self-absorbed and all you care about is maybe, no offense, but just reading the book, you know, and you ignore your children, maybe it's a good book, but you're ignoring your children or your wife or somebody that needs help in the church, I guess you have to select. I'm not going to judge that you shouldn't be reading the book. But we're called to be servants. I like the message that Scott gave, washing the feet. We're called to be servants. That means we have to give up some things we would normally choose to do ourselves, which might be sit in that chair and wear it out, and watch TV, play games, because we do have responsibilities that we've been given. If you don't really feel that, if you don't connect with that, I just want to pray that you would consider those things. I don't know if God's trying to reveal them to you. Maybe you've already thought about these things. But you do have that responsibility, whether you take it or not, because it was given to us by Christ to love our neighbors as ourselves. Love is a big thing. And I went back and I like 1 Corinthians 13. It's always the cutesy love chapter. But I want to put things in perspective with that, because it says that if you speak with tongues of men and angels, that's pretty high. But you don't have love, you're just a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If you got the gift of prophecy, boy, Bob, isn't that what you want? There's nothing wrong with that. But even if you know all mysteries and you have all knowledge, Scott, you've got a lot of knowledge, okay? Biblical. God's given it to you. And you can have all faith, guys. It says all. You know what Scott's preached on this a lot of times. It says all. It's encompassing. All knowledge, all faith, all these things. But you don't function out of love. You're nothing. my point is, and I could keep on going all the way down to 13, where it says the greatest of these is love, faith, hope, and love. I want to drive home to you the fact that you're supposed to love. You're supposed to take on that responsibility for your neighbor. You're supposed to take it on your responsibility for your children, for your family, for strangers, aliens, orphans, widows. Those are the three big ones. We're responsible for those because Christ said, love me, love your neighbor, and here's what love is. So are we alert like a sheepdog, both to the voice of the good shepherd and to the needs and fears of the sheep? Any discussion on that?